If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game. With all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Volume.
The NBA season is in full swing, and when I can't get enough of the action on the court, I spice things up betting on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Right now, new customers bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets.
This is the best time of year as an NBA fan. I'm locked into the Lakers games coming down to the stretch and into the playoffs. As long as it's not the Nuggets in the first round, I think they could pull off an upset. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook. With code Jenkins, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, April 11th, and we are on the doorstep of the NBA playoffs. We got a bunch of fun stuff to talk to you about today. Very excited to do so. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going, man?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
I'm Eli.
I always know it's going to be a great show when we get to coming to you live. Produced as always by the lovely and talented Jackson Saffa.
What's up?
I'm just going to throw this out here right now. I have so much respect for these, for the true, like the Colin Cowherds, the true daily sports talk radio people, because we were recording this show at an earlier hour than we normally would. And I'm sitting here thinking, some people do this shit 2 hours before we're currently doing it. And I don't know, every day. And I don't know how the fuck they do that shit, bro. That's a whole different life. And also, I'll say this. There's no fucking way those people are watching games, bro. There is absolutely no way. If you're on the East Coast, you're watching games till 1 o'clock in the morning and then you're up doing radio at 5 a.m. I just can't believe that.
I don't know, man. Some people crazy, different, dog. Some people got to get these takes off, man.
Yeah, Shannon Sharpe's brushed his teeth 3 times before this time, nigga. He's different, dog. He might have done it. You feel what I'm saying? 7 a.m. It's on the third time of brushing his teeth. But yeah,
I haven't even brushed my teeth once. All right. Let's talk about
facts.
I apologize.
Crazy in here. This podcast smells crazy in here.
Let me not get a sniff of the foam cover on my microphone while we're recording today. All right, let's talk about the impossible beef, the beyond beef in the rat world. It was almost beef, and then it wasn't. Between J. Cole and Kendrick, I think right after we recorded the last episode, J. Cole rolled back the the diss track. He walked it back. You know, he had to do some damage control. He got his fucking. You really have to talk about it in political terms because it's never happened that I can really remember before in music. So I know a lot of people have been wanting your guys' takes on that. So Tyler, what did you think of J. Cole unbeefing the beef, tofuing the beef?
Yeah, I firstly think that a lot of people are taking it way too seriously. A lot of people are, you know, I think it's fucking hilarious for one. I think it's hilarious that a rapper dropped the diss track and then 2 days later was like, I don't even know why I did that shit. Like, we ain't never.
You know, I was tweaking.
Like, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why I did that shit. That's my homie, dog. What the fuck? Like, that shit is crazy to me right there. And I think that people are also taking it way too serious. Like, so a man can't be accountable and walk back something that wasn't.
Oh, my yes, God.
He absolutely can, but this is rap, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? This ain't an episode of Fix My Life, Ayana. This is motherfucking rap. This is a rap beef. Rap beef, when two rappers go at it, I am not invested in that shit to see who's going to be the bigger man. I want to see who's going to go to hell first, bro. Like, whoever the lowest man wins. Like, that's how it works in rap beef. Pusha T took it to hell and he won. Tupac took it to hell and he won. You know what I'm saying? Nas took it to hell and he won. That's what I want to see. I do not want to see the best version of you in a rap beef. I want to see the worst person you can possibly be. I want you to say shit that is going to make me be like, oh my God, I cannot believe he said that, right? Like, I do not care about you becoming a better person because of rap beef. Like, that's why I always say Nas, you know, beat Jay, and that's common consensus. Of course, Jay won the war, better career, better legacy, all that shit. But in that battle, Nas won, and I'm gonna tell you when I knew Nas won is when, you know, Jay-Z, of course, he apologized for Super Ugly, but then on the Blueprint 2 shit, when he started talking about philanthropy and all the shit he donated to Columbine, I said, oh, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, right? This motherfucker's called you a Taibo ho, said you 36 nigga karate, and you're like, well, what about your donations? What have you donated to society? Like, no, that's not what I want to hear, bro.
He called you a camel face ass nigga. Come on, man.
What did he donate to the Columbine survivors? Like, no, that's not what we're doing here, dog. Like I said, when it comes to rap battles, I want to see who's going to go to hell first and who's going to go the lowest. That's who wins, bro.
It reminds me of that cursed commercial we all hate when the kid goes, it's the end of the game, the kid runs to his coach and says, coach, I touched it last. It has that vibe to
it. It's out on me, coach.
It's out on me, coach. That's the feeling of it. It's nasty. It feels like somebody was playing a friend, crossed them up, and apologized. You know what I'm saying? Like, and also the thing is, what, this nigga didn't even say nothing. He didn't even really do nothing, bro. Nobody took what you said too seriously, bro. And you lost sleep? You lost sleep over that shit? That's what's crazy to me. Like, lost sleep. My spirit was bad because I said I didn't like To Pimp a Butterfly. Nigga, what the fuck? He called you all types of shit. He called you out your name, all that shit. You said To Pimp a Butterfly was mean, and a nigga can't even close his eyes and I know that shit, bro. You feel me? You okay, J. Cole? Jermaine? You know what I mean? Jermanimal? We call that nigga Jermanimal in the group chat. No, but dog, like, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me how somebody could, you know what I'm saying, in a game and in a beef, we're like, nigga, like, y'all friends, but like in this moment, y'all can go at each other a little bit. It's cool. This is just rap. This ain't, like you said, this ain't real beef, Tyler. This ain't real beef. There's no, you know what I'm saying, there's no casualties because of this. You know, motherfuckers is talking about, hey, this, it's good for him to do that. You know how this game can go left. And this motherfucker's talking, comparing it to, these niggas talking about, yeah, the motherfucker comparing him to Pac and Biggie. What the fuck? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Somebody was like, this is mature. And then Bo tweeted back, You talk about maturity. I'm talking about rap. What do you mean? What are we talking about here? It doesn't make sense to me, that approach. And that's why I'm more frustrated, because I'm like, what? Nothing really happened. If the nigga went Pusha T on him, that would make more sense, because if that's your homie and you talking about motherfuckers in their life, tick, tick, tick. That motherfucker 666. All right, bro. I thought y'all was friends, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? But this nigga just said to Pimp a Butterfly was okay. You know what I mean? It was all right, nigga. I'm sorry, nigga. But that's how good that motherfucker's discography is, bro. nigga try to put some salt on it, and God wouldn't let him close his eyes at night. Nigga, come on. Crazy.
Yeah. To the whole, man, oh, this could have gone. Not with these dudes, man. You know what I'm saying? Not with these dudes. Bro, this was just going to be some aggressive slam poetry back and forth. Bro. That's all this was going to be, dog. There was not going to be any gunplay or anything with these dudes, man.
Someone was going to go to the sniper rifle case like Ned Flanders and open up a box that said iambic pentameter. Like,
yeah, man.
Crazy. But,
like,
crazy.
I said, bro, I just do not, like I said, I do not want to see maturity and growth when we're talking about rap beefs. Nigga, no, like, save that shit for real life, for the shit that matters. These are just motherfuckers rapping, dog. That's it.
The best thing about this shit is that it brought back Pusha's verse. Like, it's like somebody posted this shit. Like, last time, I forget the old homie name. But last time that there was soft jabs, this is what happened. And what I want to say about that is, that wasn't a soft jab, what Drake did. Drake might have been playing and Pusha T wasn't playing, but that wasn't a soft jab. You feel me? Because that man brought his wife's government name. That makes me think Drake is a whole bitch. Because you would think that it would be cool to bring up somebody's wife's whole name, you feel me? And they wouldn't come back with fucking hell and high, you know what I mean? With everything, you feel me? Like, nigga, that's crazy. So like, I don't think that was a soft jab, but yeah, man. I bringing back that verse, I think that and me really listening to that shit. Where Tyler, you tweeted this shit out when you're talking about. He said, "I want all the curses." Yeah. And what was funny is I was listening to it right before you tweeted that shit. And I was thinking, and that shit gave me chills. I'm like, this nigga is really a demon. Yeah. And he baited Drake R&B ass, or you know what I mean, R&B face ass into a battle. And Drake had no idea who he was. Yeah, I'm not ready. You know what I mean?
Going back to what you said, I always thought that Drake took it way too far when he brought Pusha T's wife's full government name. She is not in the spotlight. She is just like an accountant or some shit, you know, an everyday person. And he brought her whole government name into it. And I would say he got off light because he's soft as hell and no one took that bar seriously. Like, if a motherfucker like Conway or somebody, you know, a real motherfucker was out here said, "I'm going to let it ring on you like Virginia Williams." Like, bro, that shit sounds menacing. Coming from a real motherfucker, but coming from
Drake,
that shit just, we let Drake get off the hook with that just because he's soft, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Because
like
you knew it was just words. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But them words, exactly. Not without the context of Drake, are fucking, like you said, menacing. Yeah. And with somebody who a real one saying it. So, nigga, bro, everything that he said was in play. Even though, even him talking about 40. I mean, like, that's fucked up. But you said my wife's whole ass name, nigga. I gotta go and look at her in the face. You said you know what I'm saying?
Shoot me. You mentioned my wife's name and said you're gonna shoot me at the same time. And like I said, everyone lets that get off the hook because he's soft as hell, and we know that that's not gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, he was wild with that one.
Basically, Drake said, "I wish a nigga would," and all Pusha said, "I like to see it." Just like we was talking about with Hanif. You know, he tried to grant that nigga wish. You know what I mean? You wish a nigga would? I will, motherfucker. And Drake didn't want no, really didn't have no smoke for nobody.
And that's why I'm curious about this. Did you guys see this Joe Budden thing?
Yes.
Joe Budden said that he has inside info.
Inside sources.
Inside freaking sources that Kendrick and Drake are sitting on, quote, nuclear diss tracks, that it's going to happen at any moment. They're going to drop a diss track. And I'm just, I mean, hopefully Joe Budden is right, but no, I don't really like
Joe Budden. No, a lot of people are sitting on a lot of nuclear weapons right now that fortunately are, the whole point of them is just for everyone to know they exist. You know what I mean? Hopefully that's all they ever do. So we'll see if anyone's got their finger on the red button for
2024, the rap Cold War.
Drake apparently had one too. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, everyone got one.
I did have a couple friends. I mean, I'll ask you guys about this because I I have my perspective on it, but I'm more curious in your perspective. I had a couple friends who hit me up because I tweeted about the J. Cole stuff. I called him a weenie on the internet. I just thought it was a weenie move. If he'd have said after Kendrick's response, like, hey, that's my, you know, I'm not going to go back and forth with him, like, whatever. But for him to release something and then walk it back, I thought was like extreme weenie behavior, specifically doing that. So, but I had a couple friends, you know, older friends who have not probably listened to new rap music in a little bit, who are like, Mike, I respectfully extremely disagree with your take. Like, this is like maturity in the black community and in the rap game. And like, we need to see more people, more men who are willing to, you know.
Do these people say nigga? Because you know, the people that we don't say nigga.
One of
people,
them's a football coach. He's a real dude for but he's an older dude. And he's, you know, obviously, like, we've all, this is the thing, like, and this is always the question about music and rap music, you know, maybe in particular, like, people see the overlap with stuff that's happened in real life that's fucking horrible. And they feel a certain way about it or whatever. But I was curious for your guys' take on that, because I just favorited it and shot him a text like, I'm not where I stand on everything, bro. I'm not out here rooting for kids to fucking fight each other over stupid shit. You know what I mean? But
to me,
there has to be somewhere on the pendulum between 1995, 1996, and I couldn't sleep at night. Because I said to Pimp a Butterfly was over it. You know, there has to be middle ground there. Am I right about that, or how do you guys feel?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I completely understand the angle that people are like, okay, this is commendable. This is a man who, you know, showed accountability, admitted he made a mistake publicly, tried to rectify that. You know, hats off to that man. Yes, absolutely. But it's rap beat, bro. It's just rap. That's my whole thing. Like, let's keep it in the lens of rap and not just, you know, some bigger fucking societal commentary. It's just rap, bro. And you didn't say anything out of line. You said the motherfuckers, the second album was boring. That's the harshest shit you said. This shit was weighing on you or whatever. I promise you, none of us thought you went too far, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you could have kept this shit to yourself, dog, and just not said anything at all after this. That's my whole thing.
Yeah. For me, what you said, talking about where homie comes from and also like his experiences, I understand his feelings.
Yeah.
But like, this ain't that. But also in that situation, I think you handled it the best way, where I'm not going to try to argue with an OG. You know what I'm saying? Or how they feeling about it. You know what I'm saying? I see, my nigga. I ain't seeing what you seen. You feel what I'm saying? But like, yeah, I mean, I just like Tyler says, and we've all said, I just feel like this is just rap. These are not the guys going to take it outside of this will be a like. Actual rap battle. This is not going to leave the studio.
Yeah.
You feel me? And I think that's fine. You know what I'm saying? I think they would say things that would just like, they're just out rapping each other in ways that wouldn't prevent them from fucking with each other, you know, in the end as well. Like, I don't even think they wouldn't have liked each other afterwards, let alone really want to beef with one another outside of the studio. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I just can't see it going. Couldn't see it going that far, but yeah.
I agree with you. Did y'all see, did y'all see the Lakers game? Oh, John, you were at the game, the Lakers game that Meg Thee Stallion was at, weren't you?
Yes, I was. What's crazy is,
and you had good seats, right? So you were reasonably within spitting distance level. Of Megan Thee Stallion.
I wouldn't say spitting distance, but I was in like, I my contacts was working fine, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to Rother. It was funny. I was like, you know. Bron ain't playing 88 here, but you know, the right person is, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Rotha was like, yeah, lucky. She's like, lucky you. You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? She appreciated it. She respected it. But when she got up and she had that, the dress that she, the whatever she had on, Rotha was like, oh. Like, she was like, this she really understood, you know what I'm saying? She was like, oh, I get it, you know what I mean? We started talking about like the science behind it, like, how does that work, you know what I mean? Like,
her body?
Yeah. I'm like, how do titties sit that high with that much heft, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all
that
figure it out, let me know for sure.
The science, you feel me? You feel me? Yeah.
We got our top people working on it.
Defies gravity and all types of science, physics, everything. You feel me? He was like, what? Anyway.
Did you see, John, in person, the court vision from D'Angelo Russell, who a basketball court is 94 by 50. That's 288 feet of circumference of the basketball court. D'Angelo Russell somehow happened to trip and fall directly right next to Meg Thee Stallion, which is incredible court vision from the point guard. But did you see that shit? I was like, of course it was this motherfucker, bro. Like, of course it was this dude. Like, they just cut to him and he's just slowly picking himself up off the ground from Meg Thee Stallion's feet, bro.
Yeah, he was. That shit looked a little too obvious, bro. Like he took that shit back to like middle school antics, like when you try to impress your crush or some shit. I don't know if I've ever in my life seen D'Lo die for a loose ball, bro. Like fucking crappy hustler type shit. That's not D'Lo, dog. Come on, man.
She gonna make you do things that ain't normally what you do. You feel me? I get it. You know what I mean? It's definitely odd that he would do that. You know, I think there was probably purposeful. But I understand, you know what I mean? I'm going to tell you too, bro, like, also, like, seeing her in person, like, you know, we know she's tall. Like, you know, we hear the word Amazon used when speaking about her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think she's even used it. You feel me? But you don't really understand until you see it in real life, bro. Yes.
How tall is she?
Google says 5'10".
Like, yeah, but see, I think she had on heels or whatever, but she looked tall on the court. As a woman, when the and the NBA, and she was very close to these NBA players. You know what I'm saying? So it's a based on the proportions, it's a lot of everything, bro. I understand a nigga tripping. Oops, pardon me, and them too.
All right, man. All right. Were you guys surprised John Calipari left Kentucky for Arkansas?
Our good old Arkansas. I actually was. You know, I'm always of the, like, we knew Cal was on the hot seat. He's just someone who gets, you know, number one recruiting class after number one recruiting class, can't do shit with it in the tournament, right? But I was always of the belief that your job is never truly in trouble as a college coach until you stop getting recruits, until that recruiting well dries up. And he's still the best recruiter in college basketball, right? Just had a number one class this year that's, you know, stunk it up in the tournament, which has kind of been his calling card, you know, during his time in Kentucky. But what shocked me is how we got that news at like fucking 11 p.m. on a fucking Sunday night. Right, like that right there lets me know that this was not an amicable agreement reached by both parties. There was somebody said, fuck you, you know, I'm done here, either the AD or Calipari. You know what I mean? So hopefully, you know, we get some details on that. But if that for sure feels like there was an argument that happened that weekend and one of those two said, OK, we do not need to do this shit anymore. I'm done here. You know, so hopefully, you know, we find out exactly what shook down with who was the one who said, fuck you, I quit. He said, we quit you. Okay, I said, I quit UK.
I feel like recruiting and having the number one class doesn't benefit you as much anymore because those kids can't win. You know what I mean? So, like, even if you are great at recruiting, they're so young, you're only going to have them for a year. Of course, they're going to stink it up in a tourney. And that's when it matters. That's what cements your legacy. That's what cements if you had a good year or not. You could have went undefeated. You lose and, like, remember when Duke lost to Lehigh? Fuck whatever they did in the regular season. Nigga, y'all lost to Lehigh. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, so I feel like, you know, yes, he's a great recruiter. But what does that mean, like, now where people aren't staying? So I think the value is at Arkansas that people start watching Arkansas games. People watch Kentucky games. They have a big, you know, a big following. They don't just need people to watch. They want to win. So understand, like, why it happened. I didn't think it was going to happen, though.
Yeah. It definitely caught me off guard. And I think, Tyler, I agree with you. We don't have the full reporting. But I think the timeline, as I understand it, was that Kentucky had decided to bring him back. But obviously, the seat was warm. There was just reporting yesterday that Calipari has regretted not jumping ship earlier when the UCLA job was open. Which would have been a really interesting fit. You want to talk about Calipari at UCLA? Jackson would have been fucking miserable. Jackson didn't know. Jackson's a real USC kid. He doesn't give a fuck about basketball at all. Look at
him. No, it's funny you say that because when I was in school, I was like trying to like change. I was like, that was my bit the whole time that we were at basketball school because like the football was like not doing that great, but basketball was like kind of good.
Yeah.
And so fuck UCLA, fuck John Calipari.
Calipari in Los Angeles in the NIL era. That is Thanos with every
crazy. Like,
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What?
Is Simpson died?
Josh, is that real?
I've been at work on confirming it, but the Twitter account that posted, I pretty much trust. So,
okay.
TMZ did post it, but
TMZ posted it. Oh, that's
it's now.
That's pretty real. Yeah. Wow,
reporting over there.
This is a live reaction on our recording. That
OG live reaction.
Reportedly, I want to say.
Yeah, Josh just texted us that OJ Simpson just died on Twitter, is already on one less than 50 seconds after
his battle with cancer.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he kept that on the hush. We didn't know he had cancer, did we?
No, I mean, nobody said, yeah. The last appearance he made, he definitely was like talking about some bullshit. He was looking really skinny, and I was kind of wondering if something was going on with it. But I don't believe they had disclosed anything publicly.
It seems like there was like some not super public, but some reporting about a cancer diagnosis in February.
Okay,
but I don't think people knew he was like hospitalized even, which he seems like he was semi recently hospitalized and then passed.
Man, fuck OJ Simpson, bro.
Yeah, that's the conversation, man. We do not need to, like, you know, fucking, you know, try to sanitize people.
Yeah, I'm not dressing any of that shit up. I watched that documentary when I was a little kid. It was like, there were no details about anything anywhere. It was like, OJ Simpson killed two people. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. And then I was like, oh, and all my black friends are pretending he didn't kill these people. You know, like, whatever. Like, my, you know, but I haven't seen that
documentary. He didn't fuck with niggas, though. My mom always made that clear. She's like, he one of us, but he ain't one of us. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
his shit happened at a particular time in Southern California where I think a lot of people were really just looking for anyone to be on a side with against the police. And again, very much understand that shit. But fuck OJ Simpson. Having seen that documentary, bro, and heard about the specifics of, you know, like what was done with the bodies and shit like that, it's just like, that's an evil person, bro. I mean, that's just, you know, people who do shit like that, that's, I don't know any other way to put it. And fuck him. Twitter's going to be going crazy. Yeah. I just searched OJ Simpson. It just came up with OJ Simpson is going to hell like 500 times on Twitter, bro.
We don't even need to pretend, dog.
Yeah, for real. Damn. That's crazy.
That guy. you know, that dude was a murderer. No other fucking way to put it. He killed those two people. Like, bro, when I watched the fucking documentary and I saw that they had, like, I always knew he did it.
Yeah.
But I was, the deeper we dug and, you know, we just saw how corrupt the LAPD was in just trying to make that a dunk case, a bulletproof case. Like, y'all didn't even need to do the evidence tampering that y'all were doing because the evidence was overwhelming there. But when I found out that they found his footprints of like a very rare shoe that there were only like 80 pairs pressed up in his size at the scene, I was like, come on, dog. How did y'all fuck this up?
That's some Agatha Christie shit, bro. That does not happen in real life. Like, oh, this pen was only made at the golf course where he was dining with his mother for her birthday. That does not happen in real life, bro.
Stephen A. Smith said he'd have won that motherfucker. Though. We need a Stephen A. on the prosecution. Fuck, you know, Marsha Clark. We need a fuck Marsha and fuck Chris Darden. We need a Stephen A. He's giving us the justice we need.
Wait, Stephen A. Smith has got fucking, he did a diss track for fucking Marsha Clark, bro. Is that real?
You don't remember when he said, I would have won that case. I would have said that.
Remember that shit? I don't remember.
I always said that. You never saw that shit?
I never saw that. Oh my God. He said Marsha Clark didn't have that dog in her, bro.
Basically. I would have won that trial. I've often said that.
That man is a lunatic, bro. He is a lunatic. Of all the achievements.
He's such an uncle, bro. You know what I mean? Of course. That is such an uncle thing to say.
They should have let me try his ass.
I've always said that. You know what I'm saying? That nigga losing sleep over that. They, you know, they should have put me in this seat. I swear to God. You feel what I'm saying?
They should have let me prosecute the state's case against Orenthal
Johnny
James
Cochran
Simpson.
Johnny Cochran who? Fuck you mean? You know what I mean? I would have cooked that man. You know what I mean?
Crazy. They let him get off because he put a him-sized glove on his hands and made his fucking fingers bigger and said it didn't. You know what I mean? Like, that is some Scooby-Doo shit, bro.
But what's crazy is the racism is what got him out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the racism is what fucked them up. You know what I mean? A case that was, you know, clear-cut prior to them adding a little racist seasoning in that motherfucker. You know what I mean? The case itself was good. You know, that's what got him out. It's crazy. But anyway, fuck everybody in that situation.
There was the racism getting him off. And also, and this is where my mom went with it, because I think every kid who was our age growing up in Southern California, you got to remember this shit was, I mean, it was on our, I'm on the freeway. He was being chased by on the police. You know, like here. Like all
this
shit was here.
The verdict in school in real time. Like,
bro, we was all in the gym. They rolled that motherfucking click, click, click ass TV in that motherfucker. You know, so remember them shits?
Yes.
Rolled that TV in the whole, I think it was 7th or 8th grade, we all got into the gym and watched the verdict together. You know what I mean? It was crazy, bro.
The adults in that situation failed all of us. They were trying to ignite a race war with like some fucking 12-year-olds. Like, what are y'all doing, bro?
I remember every white person felt one way and every nigga felt another.
Yes, and it was the first time for me in middle school being on the other side of that line. You know what I mean?
You was in the middle like,
Well, but this is what my mom told me. She said, never forget that hating women is more important to people than anything else in the world. That was her lesson from it. She's like, he killed her because he was a jealous, abusive person. And she's like, your friends are making it about, you know, what they're making about. I understand that. But to me, I'll tell you, I see it very clearly what this shit is about. That is a rich man who was jealous and had been abusive to his wife, and he killed her. And like that, you know, she was like, that's it. I mean, people can put whatever else onto it. But, you know, for her, that was the start and end of it. And I think... here's the weird thing about OJ, because he was the human Rorschach test. Everyone was correct. You know, like you said, I understand why black people in the mid-90s were looking for anyone to root for against the state. And
like, you know, we did not like him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But we hated the state more.
Right,
you know what I'm
saying?
For sure.
And I understand why women looked at that as the proof case of like, yes, even a dude that everyone hates, you know, if he's rich enough, like he can get away with doing anything in the world to a woman and it being as obvious as possible. You know, like everyone was correct. And I'm glad he's dead. I'll just put it like that. Fuck him.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we was going to try to be like, you know, tippy toe around it. I'm glad y'all just said fuck him. That felt so much better.
Well, I think, I don't know what,
are we going to pretend like he wasn't OJ?
This is happening.
Good job, fellas. Thank you.
It's always hard when someone says the word cancer to be to make jokes after that, obviously. Yeah. But I just, yeah. I think this happens sometimes with the pod where we get a live reaction and like, the three of us are not naturally take artists, even though Tyler has 400,000 tweets. Like, right. I don't hear someone died and immediately like get in the lab to write jokes or whatever, but the podcast is going to come out after all the jokes have been made on Twitter anyway. So it's like, we can just got to fast forward and get the takes off.
But this is just a group chat. This is how we would respond in a group chat. Yeah, fuck that nigga, man. Him. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck it. Hey, I dropped the Stephen A. clip of him saying he didn't want to trial in the group chat.
Hold on. I got to watch this shit.
While you guys are watching this, my favorite joke that I've seen on Twitter is someone tweeting, parentheses, being told about who OJ Simpson is. Me, Jesus Christ, 143 yards per game?
Hold on. I'm gonna play this.
And Marsha Clark did an absolutely horrendous job. Because if it were me, there's no way in hell Johnny Cochran would have beaten me with that evidence.
Yo.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not even a lawyer. There is no way that you would have put 12 jurors in front of me with that evidence, and I would have lost.
I agree with him, and I get everything he's saying, but it also makes me think he votes Republican. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for whatever it's like, I agree with what you're saying.
Right.
That's the most insane shit I've ever heard. That's hilarious. That's like fucking, who was it? Oh, it was Mark Wahlberg, wasn't it? Who was like, if I'd have been on the planes, 9/11 never would have happened.
It is like a very like Republican man thing. Did like, he really don't let me solve you. I could have solved all these problems. Yeah.
Yes. Mark Wahlberg really said that.
That's not how it would have happened if I was there. Yeah.
Fuck Mark Wahlberg.
Yes. Yeah. Fuck me. Fuck Mark Wahlberg. Fuck Mark Wahlberg as well, bro.
This is becoming a podcast of hate all of a sudden, but fuck Mark Wahlberg.
But you know, like, people actually fought against these dudes knowing their life was going to end. And he's just like, fuck all that. It wouldn't have went down.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do black men fantasize about stopping horrible things from happening like in the middle of their day? Like, when you're at Target, are you ever like, if someone ran in here trying to be crazy, I would tackle his ass? Does that ever happen?
No, that's white people shit. White people think that every white person thinks they're the police, even if they're not the police, bro. You know, that's not black people shit, dog.
No, that's ain't no way, bro. Nah.
Yeah, that's how white people walk around every day. That's a fucking fact.
Mike, do you do that sometimes?
I have a taste of it, bro. I do have a little taste of it.
No, Mike, I hate it. Just a little boop, just a dollop. You know what I mean? Oh, man. Anyway,
I'll be at the kids' school like, man, if someone came up to the school right now.
Bro, that's
there wouldn't be enough left of them to put in a Ziploc bag.
What is wrong with this man?
That's firmly my theory on why we have a disproportionate amount of like white women who are Karens, because I feel like white women have all the privilege of being white with not a lot of the power that white men have. So they exert their power at the Starbucks line when they're being assholes to people and shit. You know what I'm saying? So I think just about every white person is wired to think that they are the fucking unofficial citizens arrest police patrol of the fucking United States, bro.
Right. No, I think Isabel Wilkerson wrote about that in Cast, that she was like, you could tell who thinks they're the ruling class or who has been the ruling class by the way they move around in the world like that. Because, yeah, you're right. Like, you watch Die Hard with my black friends. They're like, oh, this is a crazy movie. And I'm like, all right, so which, you know, air ducts are wide enough to fit my shoulders into? You know what I mean?
Oh,
watching John Wick, like, that's an interesting angle. Okay, all right. If anyone does fuck with
I would have took a left here instead of a right. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I get it. Ain't no fucking way. Ain't no way, bro.
Oh shit. All right.
I would have took the high ground instead of the low. But hey, you know. To each their own. We all have our preferences. That is crazy.
All right. The Curb Your Enthusiasm season finale or series finale was on Sunday. I thought it was perfect. Char and I thought it was perfect. I love the references to the Seinfeld finale. But I know I didn't even have this on the topic list. But John mentioned identifying with Larry David when he's watched that show before. And I know I've certainly felt the same way. There was a line on this season that I thought perfectly summed up that show and why I think a lot of us identify with that character, where someone was telling him what a bad dude he was. And he said, "I think I've done as well as could be expected for someone who is forced to be among people." Like,
that's a bar.
Get it, bro.
For sure. So anyway, salute to a legend on that. I'm trying to bring up because Tyler had tweeted something fucking hilarious about how Larry David in real life has started using JB Smoove's lines from the show, which I just...
That's amazing.
Wait, in interviews or just like people are just catching him using
life? Like,
in wait, so did life. He say this? How does anybody know this?
He told GQ, he said, "Some of the stuff that he says, I've taken it and I use it in my life." Davis adds, cracking up at the thought, "I now use touche, motherfucker." And in season 11, he says, "Can a motherfucker live? I say that all the time now when anybody criticizes me for anything."
That is hilarious.
That is
bro.
So funny.
That is bro, but also, can a motherfucker live? Like, you get it, but also coming from him, it's hilarious. That is
so funny that I didn't know that he did that in real life, cuz I just saw a clip of an interview from JB Smoove where he was talking about when he first joined the show, and he was like, it was a world that Larry both as a character but also as a real person had never experienced before. He's like, so I would say things in the first season we were taping, and Larry, the character, would be like, what is he talking about? And then in between, like after the cut, Larry would also ask me, like, what does that mean? He was like, an example is I would say, "You got to get in that ass." And Larry David was like, what does that mean? And he's like, "You know, Larry, you got to spread those cheeks and just get in that ass sometimes when someone's coming at you." And then he was like, in between takes, I had to explain to him that when someone's coming at you verbally, sometimes you got to just get them right back. And I was like, that is so funny that Larry has like didn't know any of this while they're actually taping the show.
I think JB, had a quote during his first season that has stuck with me that I think is perfect, which he said, "Larry David is fascinated by black people, and black people are fascinated by Larry David." Like, it's just like a mutual admiration society. Char and I from that season will still do that to each other, which was his step into that ass, Larry, like motion. That's a nonverbal husband and wife signal right there.
That's great. Y'all are hilarious.
Tyler, the greatest rivalry in sports. You and a blue check. Where are we at?
Oh, wow. I just noticed this morning they put that motherfucker back on me. I'm going to have to goddamn switch my shit up. Like, bro, I do not want that shit, man. I do not want to look like I'm fucking part of the Elon Musky tribe, bro. Those ain't my people. Blue check folks are not my people. But they've been putting that shit on me, and the way you change it is like changing your display name. So I done went from goddamn penguins to otters to ducks. Now I'm about to be chipmunks out this motherfucker in real time. Thank you for running me that. Fuck that blue check, dog. That shit was so weak. He put it on motherfuckers. Like, no, you guys have to have it. The people with a lot of outreach. You have to be part of my cult. No, fuck you, Eli. Get that weak shit up off me, dog.
What's crazy is when he first took it away, it was a big deal. You know what I mean? And he's destroyed the platform so much where he can't even give away blue checks. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he's done to Twitter. We're being like this is the real Dragonfly Jones. I don't want no part of that, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Get that shit away from me.
Tyler wants a mystery of it might be the fake Dragonfly Jones. You know what I mean? That's part of the brand, bro.
That's part of the allure. that's Dragonfly with an I instead of an L. Gotcha that time. Shouldn't have believed I was actually praising Rudy Gobert. Come on now.
It was Dragonfly Centel, not Central. All right, that's all the time we got. Thanks everyone for listening. Rest in hell, the OJ Simpson. We got the playoffs right around the corner. Yeah.
I was gonna say, I hope he's nice and toasty as right now.
That nigga getting fricasseed, flip to flop, nigga.
get
this minute, nigga.
Get some good exfoliating sweats in that sauna that he's in now.
All right, we'll be back. Playoffs are just around the corner. Like we said, we will be back on Monday with our next regular episode, which I think will also be the playoff preview, which I'm very, very excited for. So we'll see y'all then. Bye.
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 The Volume.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.